Well, hey, we are going to start a little bit different today. The world last night was kind of shook with some heavy news with Charlie Kirk. And so we wanted to acknowledge that before we jumped in and just say, man, we're thinking, we're praying, and we're heavy as well. So Adam and Luke are here with me. I'm Josh. Welcome to Corinth in Your Car. We just wanted to spend a minute or two kind of thinking through that together, and then we'll jump into podcast as normal. But man, guys, how are you feeling and processing and just, yeah, what's going on? Luke, you were at youth group last night, so teenage world.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of heaviness. I heard about it from a teenager, yesterday afternoon, which was just one of those immediate, automatic, heartbreaking things is that the news gets out so quick and their world is immediately affected. And certainly, it was on the minds of high school students last night and even some middle school students this morning that I've already had with CLC. And it's they're feeling sad and frustrated and scared and angry. And many of them are struggling through what they've seen, what they've heard. On the flip side, just maybe a reflection of where our culture's at. Many of them maybe don't even really feel anything about it, because they're kind of desensitized to violence and all these different things, because violence is normal for them. I mean, just Charlie Kirk isn't the only thing that's happened this last week.
Right. There's been more.
Yesterday was a school shooting. I think that's the sixth since school has come back. I think there was a woman on a train ride. I mean, there's just a lot of senseless violence, and students are wrestling with trying to how to make sense of it. And some of them will lean heavy into wrestling with their feelings, and some of them will not want to feel at all. So they'll push them to the side, become desensitized and apathetic to it. But yeah, heavy for sure. The thing that I've been sending to some students this morning is just a song that really blessed me this morning. So this morning, listening to the Worship Initiative Devos, and they brought out the hymn, "This Is My Father's World." And yeah, just moved me to worship, reminded me of what I need to be thinking of this morning with lyrics like, "This is my father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so wrong, God is the ruler yet. The Lord is king, so let the heaven rings, God reigns, let the earth be glad. Why should my heart be sad? If God is in control, he will make all things new. All will be made new. Our darkest days will pass away. He will make his dwelling place." So that's a place. So we long for that. And whenever you get to a point to where you see something like this happen, the prayer that you pray is just, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And so we're praying that right now.
No, it's so I was in Nashville yesterday with a group of pastors, and as we were like literally wrapping up, it was 2 o'clock Central Time. Right before we were leaving, I just I popped open my phone just to check Twitter. And that was like it had just happened. And so I told that group, and they're like, "Oh my God." And so I'm the 5-hour road trip back is just like trying to touch base with, on phone, because I'm not going to be checking Twitter while I'm driving. But touch base with my son, with my brother, and just like, kind of give me some updates. And it was funny when it, or not funny, but you know what I mean? The last thing that Andy, my brother and I said was just, "Maranatha,
yeah, come Lord Jesus, yeah,
come Lord Jesus," because
right.
there's just a, I don't know, I mean, there's just a, just a sickness. I mean, it's just all I mean, really is. And I think as far as, Charlie, the person goes, everything we can tell, that dude loved Jesus, man.
I In his interviews, he talked all the time about how his
all
faith
the
was the
time.
most important to him.
I shared my Instagram story, just one of the videos of him talking in one of the college campuses, I'm just saying, "Jesus changed my life, and he saved me." And And so on that side, you know, we rest with the assurance of salvation and faith mm-hmm. becoming sight and those things. But it's just you know, what a sick world we live in.
Yeah, one of the verses that encouraged me this morning, I think it was just the Spirit prompting this one in my head. So this was another thing I've just been kind of reciting as a breath prayer through the day so far, and it's Romans 16:19. And you can of mm-hmm. course sing the camp song with it if mm-hmm. if you'd so like, but the God of peace will soon crush Satan.
Yeah. Yeah.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan. And I think one of the things that I would just remind our listeners about and our church about, one of the things I'm trying to work through myself and for our students, just caring for them and leading them through how to process all of this. It is really, really easy in moments like this to look at the brokenness of the world and to flip out about the violence and to get really, really angry and frustrated about the people who are so evil that they are glad this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's right to be angry about that because I think it makes God angry. But I would just remind all of us, let's not forget who our enemy really is.
Yep. Yeah.
And the fate that already awaits him. The God of peace will soon crush Satan. And so
yeah,
again, we just pray expectantly, make that happen soon, Jesus. So
I was just my normal reading where I was today was Mark 16, which is the resurrection. And that's the reminder that in the midst of all the pain, Jesus has come to heal that. And then Psalm 9 as well. So the Lord reigns forever. He's established his throne for judgment. He rules the world in righteousness and judges the people with equity. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. So in the midst of it, just good reminders all around. It's tough, man.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is why we continue to just, you know, ask God to do a mighty work. And, you know, it is his world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was reminded, you know, today, just once again, just kind of just doing some scrolling and just reading some different things. It's just like light will not be overcome by the darkness.
Yeah.
Never.
Darkness will never overcome the light. And so, you know, I think to, you know, the young men, because I mean, Charlie just had he had a white following,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, it was young men like our teenage boys, our 20-year-old, you know, young guys,
16 to 30.
Yeah. A big, mm-hmm. big influence. And I would just say, you know, to them, you know, don't let this discourage you. And I would also say, don't let it harden you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good word. That you second know, word is really good.
Don't let it harden you and don't allow this idea that, that we need to, the answer to our enemies is just to hate them. Or to people,
right? Yeah,
you know, it's okay to be disgusted. It's okay to be,
yeah.
I would even say it's okay to be angry. I mean, this is
mm-hmm.
this should cause anger, but don't let it harden you.
Yeah,
yeah, and of course we'll get into message and things later. But it, you know, I'm not saying that Charlie Kirk was an apostle or anything like that.
No.
But what the apostles did in their persecution and in their punishment, the public jail, we'll get into this.
Mm-hmm.
They actually counted it a joy that they were bloody, that they had suffered for the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And so it's just interesting as we think and ponder and just continue to let the Spirit lead us. How it works together with this conversation we're about to get into. So
yeah, no, and I think that that's actually a good transition into what we were talking about, and I would never want to make a sermon about,
no,
you know, a modern, but you know, there is something Charlie was being obedient to what he felt like the Lord was calling him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
I think that, it is kind of interesting that's where we are today.
Sure. Yeah. And like I said, I'm not calling him an apostle or anything like that. He's not a person in the scriptures, you know, but the only thing I'm saying is it's interesting the timing. They said we counted it a joy that we got to suffer, that we got to suffer.
Well, and you know, I mean, we'll move right into it, but these guys were, Charlie was persecuted for what he believed in.
Yeah.
He would not stop speaking in that name. And there, I mean, if some of the things I just read 37 seconds ago, you know, about things that were written on the bullets and those kind of things, then that is what we're dealing with. So,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
someone who died.
It was religious persecution.
It was religious persecution.
Someone who died for their faith.
Yes.
That is one, that's one conversation to have.
Yeah.
And then there's the separate conversation to have that needs to not happen right now. and that is where our nation is headed if free speech is responded with something like that.
That's
the other conversation. Let's not join those
correct
together.
they're different conversations.
They're different conversations.
They are.
Yeah. Well, here we are, and it's another day we're together, and even in the midst of just heavy stuff, we're grateful. God has been good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so as you look back on your past week, Luke, what's someone or something you're grateful for from the last 7 days?
Let's see here. I am grateful for I'll just brag on you because this is what's coming out of my mind. Car's in the shop right now, and I needed a ride to Loganville Auto Center last minute, and you hooked me up. So, Josh, I'm grateful for you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Can I tell the listeners how funny it was that Luke got in my car after previously the last person who had ridden in that front seat was a 10-year-old boy, Dominic.
Yeah.
And so they are vastly different people.
Yeah.
So Luke had to slide the seat all the way back and lean the seat all the way just to fit in. But
something I'm used to, so it's quite.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, I don't drive a large car. So anyway, Adam, what are you grateful for in the past 7 days?
I'm grateful I got to sleep on my own bed last night. I haven't done that a lot recently.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm just grateful.
What, have you been on the floor?
Yeah,
no. Just some travels.
Yeah, different Airbnb.
The Nashville trip was good stuff.
It was. Yeah, I was grateful to get a chance to meet a guy named Kevin Queen, pastor up in Nashville, a place called Cross Point Church, and got to spend some really, really cool things there. And so just that was really great. So grateful for that opportunity. Grateful for, you know, elders and give me permission to do that, encouraging it.
Yeah.
So,
good stuff. Well, let's still hang out in gratitude. I guess I didn't go. I'm grateful.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for, I just had a couple really cool, fun meetings this week, one over lunch and one just in my office last night. People from the church that are really great.
Yeah.
It was really fun. Yeah. Let's look forward.
Okay.
3 days from now, just vision night.
No, hold on. There's something in here that I want to talk about.
Oh, okay.
You're asking a question about seasons.
Oh. Fall is almost here.
Yeah, there we go.
The autumnal equinox, I believe, is somewhere around September 22nd.
I'm just curious to hear if you guys think it's the best season. Because I have a hunch that Adam says no and you say yes.
Oh, no, I love fall.
He loves fall.
You love fall too?
I definitely think
it's the best
fall
7 days.
Is my favorite.
Yeah, it's the best 7 days in Georgia.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not mine. But it is only because of
allergies.
Well, I guess there's two reasons why. Okay. Allergies. My allergies tend to flare up in the fall, but it's the getting darker sooner.
Yeah.
That is, I think, just the automatic L for fall. And it's like, give me.
So what's your perfect temperature?
A perfect temperature is probably a cool morning in the 50s, 60s that warms up to 80, 90. During the day.
90.
I like it. Yeah, 90.
That's way too high.
I could live for the rest of my life and not experience 90 degrees and be happy.
It's not all the way up to 100. I'm not saying 98. I'm saying 90, you know?
But the heat index in Georgia with 150,000% humidity,
90 degrees doesn't prevent you from doing anything outside, and it also gives you the option to enjoy
You're right.
Other things outside that you may not be able to if it's 80.
like a water slide,
like a water slide or a pool or something like
that.
My
water slide days are over. And my kids don't get cold like that. They just do it anyway. So, you know,
top out at 78, man.
No, I think for me, the perfect temperature is, that 50 something degree morning. You're up in the mountains and leaves are changing, hiking.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway,
start off at 55, top out at 78.
It's the weather that all, you know, a bunch of ladies would like to wear a sweatshirt with shorts, or some guys too. But
I was about to say, I think middle school boys just do shorts and a hoodie pretty much all year round.
That's just because they're lazy.
Yeah, that's true. But all right, you can look forward now.
We're looking forward. We're also excited for this next week. Vision Night, as you listen, just happened. But for us, it's 3 days from now. So what are you hopeful for, excited for, praying about, all that stuff?
Man, I'm really excited. We just actually just got out of a Zoom call talking about a few of the things, and I think it's just going to be, I don't know, man. I think there's some great potential there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just.
There's a couple of really cool moments.
Yeah.
You want to come and be a part of, and if you did, you know that.
Yeah.
And well, I mean,
you,
I guess.
And if you weren't, then please come next week, 21st. Yeah, you're not going to miss out.
No. Yeah, and I guess we'll be, you know, sharing pictures and stuff over social media and that stuff. So
check those out too.
I mean, I guess we can go ahead and spoil it, but you know, it's not spoiling it, but the light bulb thing.
It's going to be great.
That's just going to be an incredibly powerful moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited too, just to see what our timeline looks like as far as when people started.
And the timeline, the heat map,
to see where are we from. I'm so excited about, you know, the construction project and those things and getting that going. But also too, I'm just excited to see people get excited about being generous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I think it's just like one of the things that I'm convinced after meeting with a lot of people over the past, you know, all my years, but there's very little like generosity that just kind of kickstarts and throws faith into overdrive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's what we're talking about Sunday night. Sunday morning is another message in the series.
Sir.
We're in the book of Acts, but also Unstoppable Force for this round, these four. Acts 3 and 4, where we were last week, the believers were praying for boldness.
Mm-hmm.
And then Acts 5 and 6, but we focused kind of on 5. The early church, just they obeyed with boldness. So Adam, catch us up with the context, the summary, and then we'll jump in.
So we are almost literally picking straight up from the meeting places shaken up and those kind of things. We skipped over Ananias and Sapphira and their
disobedience.
Disobedience.
Yeah.
Dishonesty.
Dishonesty
for sure, which would be disobedient. Mm-hmm. And so we skipped over that because there's, you know, we get 30 minutes. And so, so we went.
They wish that would have been skipped over too.
If they could have a do over, they would.
Yeah.
And so we went straight into the story of, you know, so Peter and John and the disciples, again, they're just continuing to preach in the name. And it is interesting that the Jewish leaders of the day have moved from disturbed and annoyed to now they're furious because the guys won't stop. And so they have them arrested and thrown into jail, a public jail, not a private little, nice little, cushy little thing, but thrown into the public jail to try to humiliate them. And Angel shows up, all those kind of things, and lets them out. Next day, they're like, didn't we arrest these guys? And like, yeah, we did. Well, they're out there preaching again, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just an incredible story of just kind of watching the apostles just, they just refuse to obey men. They are going to obey God, which is what they told them in Acts chapter 4. They say, hey, whether or not we should obey you or God, you're going to have to decide for yourself, but we're going to obey God. And chapter 5 is them living that out.
So the early church apostles, they're like the weevil that wobbles but won't fall down. That old toy.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Absolutely.
the toys are cute. An actual picture of a weevil is really disgusting.
A weevil or a weevil
with a V.
What is a weevil?
It's a bug.
It's like a bug, yeah. Yeah.
Which one are they?
I mean, that one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know exactly what they do. No, the church just won't go away. It won't get knocked down. Or it'll knock down, but just keep getting back up.
I get knocked down, right?
Song is in your head, too.
Well, and it's also, too, that it's like the harder you strike it, the stronger it becomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what we see throughout the entire story of Acts.
Right.
And church history.
Yeah. So, and that leads really into the first point of your message as we talked through this passage, preaching through Acts 5:17 through 20, and we'll just do kind of one verse at a time. But one big point you made, Adam, is that obedience will cost you. So yeah. Luke, read the costly part there, Acts 5:18.
Yeah, it says, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail.
All right, so Adam, you hinted a while ago, they put them in the public jail, they being some Sadducees there. Mm-hmm. So fill us in, what's going on? Why are they sad, you see? And there you go. And why are they throwing them into the public, not private jail?
Yeah, so they are sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. I mean, they didn't believe in it. I mean, they really didn't believe that God intervened at all. I mean, because I think it's Acts chapter 23. It tells us that the Sadducees, they don't believe in angels, spirits, demons, any of those other kind of things.
Correct.
And so it's a very naturalistic worldview. And really interesting group. Mm-hmm. You know, and what chapter is it? You guys remember? Because Paul's going to be arrested, and he actually starts a fight between the Pharisees and the Sadducees because he's like, if I'm here because I've been preaching about the resurrection.
Right,
and,
yep.
And
yep.
So it causes the Pharisees who do believe in a resurrection and the Sadducees who don't.
Jesus kind of hoodwinks him a little bit too in his ministry with the resurrection and all that sort of stuff. So
yeah.
Because aren't they the ones that come and they say...
I think it's the way he does with John the Baptist tricks them, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whose wife will she be?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's that one question to where they're like trying to trip Jesus up.
But that was the Sadducees, yes?
Yes.
I can't remember.
And they don't even believe in it.
They don't. Right. And he's like, but
maybe,
speaking of the resurrection, yes, no, he did.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've had enough. There is a political issue there for them because they're trying to keep things at peace with Rome,
right?
And they don't want this, you know. Hey, that guy that we killed might actually be alive, and we don't need Rome coming to check us out.
And that is one of the differences that's important too about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were much more embracing of and friendly with the Roman Empire than the Pharisees were.
Yes.
So Pharisees still really wanted freedom from the Roman Empire.
Right.
Sadducees had kind of, for lack of a better term, this is what a Pharisee or a Jew would say, sold their soul to the Roman Empire.
Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, this is kind of what it is, so let's make the best of it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of just what's going on there. And so they have them arrested. They bring them into a public jail. Put them out there, and so that they can humiliate them, try to intimidate them. Mm-hmm. Heard a great line. An old farmer told Kevin Queen this.
Okay.
He said, "You know, you can never truly humiliate a truly humble man."
Hmm. Okay.
And that's kind of where these guys are. They're not able because they are humble men. They're not able to be humiliated. And they're just like, hey, then, this is what's going on.
Yeah. Well, another powerful line just in the message, you said, if you're not ready to face opposition for obedience, you're not ready to be used by God.
Yeah.
Man, that hit me. Mm-hmm. Right. So,
Obedience
will cost you. Mm-hmm. But here's what's running through my mind. What's the cost of disobedience?
Sure.
I mean, because you talk about there's a cost of obedience.
Sure.
There's also a cost of not obeying.
Yeah.
So what pops into your head with that? Lou? Adam?
I think that the issue with that is that generally speaking, the cost of disobedience comes later. whereas the cost of obedience may happen sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a good way of thinking about it.
So you may experience temporary relief through your disobedience, mm-hmm. but the long-term consequences are going to be there. So let's just talk about, generosity. So you may be disobedient financially,
mm-hmm.
and feel the immediate quote unquote relief,
mm-hmm.
of being able to spend, 100% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
But the long-term consequences of living that way will eventually catch up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't lead to peace. It doesn't lead to margin, just from the practical side of things. Whereas the short-term cost of being obedient, of going, hey, we're going from 100% down to 90%. Mm-hmm. There is some pain in that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. But the long-term positive consequences are much better.
Yep.
Yeah, examples in the sermon were choosing sexual integrity, mm-hmm. and losing a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That is a cost.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it's not a cost. Mm-hmm. it's a joy.
Right.
Saying no to Sunday sports for your family in the short term, I mean, you might get made fun of or told certain things by the players or coaches, or you might feel left out. In the long term, you might gain a whole lot more than you lost, right?
Yeah.
You talked about taking a financial step, or then the last one you gave here was speaking up when it's unpopular at work,
mm-hmm.
or school. Like, there's a cost, but in the long run, I mean, doesn't Jesus say, he who disowns me before men, you know?
Yeah.
I'll disown you before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Jesus is going to speak up for you or not. So,
yeah, this whole thing is reminding me of Luke chapter 14. So this is where Jesus says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down, yep. and count the cost,
mm-hmm.
whether he has enough to complete it? And so this is Jesus saying, if you want to truly become a follower of me, if you want to become a disciple, then you need to make sure that you count the cost. You need to consider that it's going to cost you something. And so we shouldn't be surprised that obedience comes at a cost, certainly a cost that is uncomfortable in the moment, but brings a lot of joy in the long run.
So what do we do to count that cost? What are some practical advice? What's some practical advice to put legs to this? How do we, as men, as women, fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, count the cost?
I think we just remember how about this? So I remember something Alan Algrim used to say is, it is far better to have waited on God than to wish you had.
Wish you hadn't?
Wish you had.
I wish you had. I'm sorry.
Yes. So in other words, we don't want to.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I would say it's the same thing on this side. So it is far better to obey God than to wish that you had.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so in counting the cost, it is just going, it may be painful. And we need to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
If you end a relationship because it's like one of you wants to follow Jesus and the other one doesn't, and you've been together for a bit, it's going to, I almost said it's going to suck. And it is.
It will. There you go.
How's that?
Parts of it are very painful.
It is incredibly painful.
And it should be, because God created us for connection.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
there's been relationship.
Yeah. So. And it's not saying that you just need to get over it or suck it up or anything like that. But it's just like you go into it with eyes wide open of this will be painful.
Mm-hmm.
Yet it is far better to experience this short-term pain than the long-term pain of what could come at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And once again, you're not denying that it's painful.
Right.
You're just choosing.
Yeah.
You're choosing your pain.
Again, to point back at some of the words of Jesus, this is Sermon on the Mount, right? Like, consider the cost. Long-term, is it better for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven without a hand,
uh-huh.
which was painful to lose, but it was causing you to sin? Or is it better for you to enter into eternity separate from God with your hand in full tact, right? It's going to cost me, mm-hmm. To be faithful and to follow and all that sort of stuff. But what I gain in it is so much better. And so I think what you have to do in order to consider and count the cost is you have to remember God's faithfulness. I think you have to remember where it is that obedience to God leads you, which is to him. And if you've got him,
right,
you've got all that you need. And that means that you can be sustained and be carried through and overcome the hard that is the moment of saying, I'm going to obey even if it costs me something.
Which is really, I mean, you led right into point two, that obedience, it will cost you. But one of the dividends that that cost pays is space for God to move. So obedience creates space for God to move. Adam, you referenced this verse, chapter 5, verse 19, an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gate of the jail, and brought them out. So God moved in a funny way. This is like a ha-ha, gotcha, funny way, because the Sadducees did not believe in angels, but yeah. I was like, all right, I'll send an angel, or at least.
Suckers!
Right? You got served. No, that's so old now. So there's some humor in there with the angel releasing them from jail. But I love this quote you had in there. When you walk in obedience, you're not surprised when God shows up.
Right.
And you were just in my office a while ago talking about prayer meetings and mm-hmm. signs and wonders and visions. And there's lots of revival happening around the nation right now that people are seeing dreams. They are experiencing things that we haven't really seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And we don't obey to get that. We obey to get God.
Right.
But sure. When we walk in obedience, the same phrase, like we're not surprised when God shows up. Another great line, obedience doesn't guarantee comfort. It will cost you, right? But it does open the door for God's activity. So I've been talking too long. You guys talk about examples that come to mind when maybe we shut the door on God's activity, or if you've seen it where we open the door and something happened. So.
Well, I want to interject real quick. So one of the things I found interesting, so for the past 2 weeks, I've hung out with 12 different pastors.
Yeah.
Okay. So three of them from the same church, but then, I'm talking from California, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, let me see. Where's the other one? West Virginia. So it's a sampling.
Right.
And every single one of those churches is seeing a next gen revival taking place.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Every single one of them.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, this is not just, well, I guess technically this is anecdotal, but there is something happening.
Correct.
There is something happening. And so, like one of the things, whenever I think about what these churches are seeing, is that these are all churches that I would say are walking in obedience and being for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're investing in them, they're pouring resources into them, and so should we be surprised that God is showing up whenever these churches are being obedient and following? I would say Psalm 78, verse 4. We're not hiding these truths from the next generation.
Right.
And so, anyway, I don't know. I just thought that was just an interesting, it piqued my interest to just
be able to
hear all that going on. So, I don't know. I'll shut up.
Luke, what are your thoughts?
What are you thinking?
Have you seen doors shut or open because of our disobedience or our obedience is kind of the question.
Yeah. The example that came to my mind, just as an anecdotal, is when the Spirit prompts you to do something, right? So if you're disobedient to the prompting of the Spirit, you are robbing, potential spiritual outcomes of happening.
Even something as simple as a conversation or a text message, if someone pops into your head,
right? Like,
I mean. Right.
Yeah, but just like, at the coffee shop, Spirit prompts you to ask the barista how you can be praying for them. And you're like, that's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to do that. And so you kind of convince yourself, well, I'll kind of like halfway obey, which I know you talk about later. I'll sit down with my coffee at my table and I will say a prayer for them in my mind.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, cool. That's kind of cool, I guess. But the Spirit told you to pray with them, like ask mm-hmm. how you can pray for them, right?
Right. Right.
And I think that you, the outcome of maybe a conversation or a bold question or a prayer with someone that you know or that you don't know, really creates a lot of space for God to do some incredible thing. So,
yeah, for sure. And I think the more we listen and respond, obviously the better we get at hearing, right?
Right.
I mean, it happens all over the place. If you, if you're a birder and try to go listen to all the birds, you're going to develop that skill and that ear.
Mm-hmm,
and, right. I mean, golly, whatever you do, you get better at it. Here's a question. I don't know if this will stick or not, but do you think some people are afraid of God moving in their lives because it means things might get uncomfortable?
Hmm. Yes.
I think a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are.
So, I mean, just knowing that's a hurdle, what can we do to overcome that hurdle?
I don't want to just go just get over it.
Kind of say what I think you're getting at. We are growing up in a culture that believes that they can't do hard things.
Uh-huh.
And we are growing up in a culture where to be uncomfortable is the worst thing that can ever happen
right.
to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that as followers of Jesus, we just have to understand that uncomfortable is where the Spirit grows us.
Yes.
Uncomfortable is where the Lord moves through us. Uncomfortable. So as a follower of Jesus, if you have a hard time being uncomfortable, you need to practice a spiritual discipline of making yourself uncomfortable.
Sure.
And this is why things fasting from food mm-hmm. is really important. I'm going to make myself uncomfortable so that I can become comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And
get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Right. And so there is a little bit of the get over it mentality. Suck it up, buttercup. Like, let's go. And that's certainly there because we have some weak men and women right now that just need to get stronger.
Yeah, tell ourselves our identity that we do hard things.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can do hard things.
My dad told a story from years ago. He had a father and son come over to his house, and they were making a table or a charcuterie board or something. I think it was a charcuterie. And he has like all the levels of sandpaper, you know. So they started with the rough stuff, and I forget this guy's last name, so I'm just going to call him Smith. You know, he's like, all right, most men would stop at, 300, but not a Smith. A Smith goes longer. And so he's like, all right, so 500, and the higher you get, the smoother it is. And so they'd finish that one. Most men would stop at 500, but you're a Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep going. 1,000. Most men would stop, and it just keeps going. And mm-hmm. the point being, did it take longer? Absolutely.
Right.
But the way it was phrased was like, no, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to sign up to do hard things.
I'm going to suffer long.
Yeah, suffer right? long.
Like I'm going to do this.
So most Christians might stop, but we at Corinth won't.
Yeah.
We're going to do tough things.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think too, and I think, so maybe another aspect of this is also to consider what could I be missing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the point. It creates space for God to move.
Yeah. And so is it terrifying to have, if God's move is like a wave,
mm-hmm.
which we've heard this,
mm-hmm.
Or if it's like the wind, the Spirit's like the wind, is it mm-hmm. terrifying to let a wave,
carry you? Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you have zero control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's also exhilarating.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And at least that's what I would hear from surfers. And so I'll let somebody else say that. But
it's wild, bro.
Wild, bro. But
like the turtles and Nemo.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's the
dude.
It's the EAC, man. You just got to let the current take you uh-huh. where you need to uh-huh. be.
Yeah.
And it's whenever you resist that you actually end up, in a worse place. And so I think that would be part of it as well. Is like there is a toughen up, buttercup. Life is hard. Whoever told you life was going to be easy.
Yeah.
Lied.
Yeah. But there's also and consider what you could be missing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like that popped into my head a while ago. You just said, if you try to stand up to a wave, mm-hmm. you're going to get hit real hard mm-hmm. and hurt a lot more trying to face that wave than riding that wave.
Yes. Yep.
It might be difficult, but it is not only more exhilarating, but in the long run, safer. So,
yes.
Man, third point, yeah, you said, we got a lot today. Man, we need to hurry
this up. Somebody preached a four-point sermon, man.
Obedience requires faith. Luke, read chapter 5, verse 20.
Yeah, it says, go to the temple and give the people this message of life.
Go and give. Two action words, go do this. And then, I love this, you said, Adam, details. Can't handle the details. And that's all you put in your sermon message right now. So yeah. I'm like, tell us more about this.
No, the whole idea is like, God doesn't give them a whole lot of details. He just says, you just do this one thing. You just
Why does he not leave the details out, you think?
I think that's a great question. I think that it's just like...
Because you wrote, can't handle the details.
Yeah, they don't need all the details because they actually... I don't know. Do you think
they were already...
Would it have shut them down?
Could it have shut them down?
Maybe.
You know, because they are about... They're going to get flogged for this one.
Yeah. Like, hey, I'm going to do this super cool thing and let you out of jail, but you're going to get beaten snot out of you.
So,
well, I might stay in this public jail then. Okay.
So I think that God already gave them the details. Like their life with Jesus and Jesus' post-resurrection.
You're saying... Yeah, sure. I get it.
Has told these apostles...
Yeah.
Here's the message of life that you need to go proclaim. And by the way, it's not going to be received well, and you're going to suffer much for my name, which then goes to show, once again, the bold faithfulness and obedience of the disciples, because verse 21, so at daybreak the apostles went.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So in chapter 4, they've already been arrested once, and there was no flogging, there was no beating, there was nothing. It was just
a threat.
A threat. Hey, you guys need to really stop this.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I'm saying, you know, they can't handle the details, it's just like they know that that's got to be a part
looming.
But it's like, well, last time this happened, they just gave us a stern warning. Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to happen now? And, you know, I think that we can see by their response that, hey, man, they're all in. They're rejoicing that they were counted worthy. But I think a lot of times what we want to do is we want to obey whenever we know that the outcome is going to go exactly how we want it to go.
Yeah. It's almost like I wrote this here. We often want God to send us a Google Cal invite.
Yes.
Like, hey, will you meet me at 9 a.m. at this place? And here's the details. You can look at the notes section of the invite. It's going to be
agenda,
okay.
Here's the agenda.
That's not how God works.
And we're going to record the meeting so you can play it back.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so it is just a go to the temple and do this. And so they do. They do it exactly as they were told. And they begin to preach and they begin to do that. But I think that it is interesting that the command is this. Now, there are times that we'll read later in Acts to where it's like, hey, you're going to go, you're going to suffer, you're going to be arrested, mm-hmm. and those kind of things. And that's Paul. And remember, the guy prophesies that, tries to tie him up with a belt, right?
He does, yeah.
And he's so there is, but in this instance, it's just like they had to have the faith that they just needed to do what God asked them to do.
Yeah, and Luke, I love how you brought out verse 21, at daybreak.
Yep.
So like the first chance they get,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is why, Adam, you wrote these other reminders. Delayed obedience is disobedience.
Correct.
That's what we would tell our kids all the time, right?
Yes.
Partial obedience, like, well, I took the trash out of the can,
right.
but it's still sitting on the floor. Like, you know to take it to the dumpster.
Right.
Partial obedience is also disobedience.
Yeah.
So just quick hits, reminders about how obedience does require faith to do tough things. And then finally, man, you added, or you ended with this big point, obedience may lead to pain,
mm-hmm.
But it produces joy.
Yes.
So
yeah,
let's just think quickly. What are some, practically, what are some situations the average Corinthian would be in that it would be tempting to delay or only obey partially?
Yeah.
But they're going to be painful, but they are going to be productive.
Yeah. So. No, I think... you know, we most likely aren't going to face beatings, you know, most likely. But we do face being misunderstood, right? You know, or being labeled a bigot or closed-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Hateful.
Hateful. Yeah.
I go back to that Chesterton quote.
Yeah, know. This is great.
You know, and where did the Chesterton quote go, Adam?
yeah. Which I think you said that before we started talking.
Yes, so you did.
Did I say that? Did I say
you said that before we were recording?
The Chesterton quote?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I said it on the thing.
No, it's on. It has not been on air. So do you have it again?
Yeah, okay. It says, "We shall soon be in a world in which a man may be held down for saying that 2 and 2 make 4, in which furious party cries will be raised against anybody who says that cows have horns, in which people will persecute the heresy of calling a triangle a three-sided figure, and hang a man for maddening a mob with the news that grass is green." And
it's kind of where we live.
And that is kind of where we are. You know, you say, and I mean, not trying to be provocative or anything, but, you know, you say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And marriage is to be between a man and a woman.
Life begins at conception.
Life begins, yes.
Even Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, Jesus is Lord and Caesar is not, you know. Yeah. And, you know, you can move into even other things. I mean, you can just get up and say, we need to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with people are like, yeah, but they're horrible, you know, and it's like... Yeah, but there's no escape clause in this.
Yeah.
You know, there's not an asterisk with a footnote that says, you know, unless they're really bad.
Yeah.
And so all of these things. So you can be, find yourself in that place to where you're misunderstood, you're rejected. You can be passed up. Like I go back to, you know, if you make a decision that, hey, Sunday is for church and for faith, and so our kids aren't going to play. We're not going to travel, or I still think that, Jeremy and Jenny Carnes handled travel ball better than anybody I've ever seen handle travel ball.
Yeah.
To where they're just like, well, yes, that is. So we understand that there are games on there, but, we're going to make sure that Hudson, is at church at least for one of the services. And we're going to make sure this takes place and all these other kind of things because this matters.
This is priority.
Yeah,
this is the problem. And whenever you do stuff like that, you will be misunderstood. You will be, I don't want to say necessarily, you can be rejected.
I was about to say, the coach
you
can
said passed up.
Yeah, the coach that's a form of rejection. Can look at you and say, okay, well, then we don't need you on our team.
Yeah. 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 If you're not going to be all in on this, then, you know, we're not.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things. You can be looked at as weird. You may lose out opportunities for dating relationships because you say, no, hookup culture is wrong.
Sinful.
It's sinful. Mm-hmm. You know, and there are so many things, and yet we're still called to obey, and it may lead to short-term pain, but it will always lead to deeper joy.
Correct.
Yeah, and I think the heart of God has been proven that he's not going to do things in our life to make us hurt just to hurt.
No.
He loves us, and what he asks us to do is always for our good. Man, these powerful verses at the end of the chapter, the others accepted his advice about we must obey God rather than men, right? Or something else. Anyways, they called the apostles and had them flogged. Let's start there. Then they ordered them never again to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go.
Yeah.
The apostles left the high council, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to teach and to preach the message. Jesus is the Messiah. Nothing has changed. You can beat us, you can knock us down, we're right back up again because Jesus is Lord, and that's what matters.
Yep.
So, which is why the bottom line was obedience is costly, but it's never wasted.
Right.
Challenge?
We'll have one.
We'll have a challenge. Yes, and the challenge is to go obey.
Yes.
Where the Spirit leads.
That's where it's
It's phrased.
However it ends up being phrased.
It will be to obey.
Yeah.
Because obedience is always better than disobedience.
Yes.
And it always leads you to health.
Yeah.
So, any other words for the cause?
I was listening to someone the other day talk about how spiritual formation is the process at being more and more okay with losing arguments to God.
Yeah.
And I thought that was good.
I heard that. Who said that?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it's talking about obedience. Like,
yeah,
we have our will, our natural desires, and to be formed into the image of Christ is to be able to consistently pray the prayer that he prayed in the garden.
Well,
not my will, but your will be done. So I'm going to let God win this one and this one and this one and all of them. So,
yeah. Yeah. Adam, any other last closing words?
No, I think Luke summed that up pretty great. So to obey is better than sacrifice.
Yeah, so. That's right. Well, obedience costs. I have a few fun questions for you. If you want to play a Price is Right type game, what does it cost?
Ooh.
Walton County Edition.
Ooh.
You go to the grocery store, you've seen the prices.
Which store are we talking about, though?
This is all Walmart.com.
Okay.
So just so you know, these are all from Walmart. I'll give you the product names.
Okay.
So you can have some context there.
Okay.
Adam, since you're older, I'll let you go first. Luke go first, and
okay,
you can decide if you want to guess higher or lower.
Right? Oh, okay.
The first item up for bids is it's one package of Velveeta shells and cheese. What's your estimate on the cost?
Does this include tax? Does it include your $10 delivery fee?
It does not
fee?
Include tax. Okay. This is just the sticker
straight
price.
Sticker price.
Okay, so I don't buy Velveeta mac.
That's why I'm giving you the brand names on these. I'll give other brand names too.
How many ounces?
No,
it's just the standard size
just
box, dude.
The
$4.09. No, it's Velveeta. I'm going $6.23.
$6.23.
Lower.
So you're going to say $1, Bob? You are correct with $2.97 for the one box.
Actually, I am not joking. I was going to say $2.97 is what I was going to
okay.
say. Okay. So am I supposed to say a price?
No,
or?
You can go lower.
Okay. All right.
But you got to go first this time.
Okay.
A gallon of what's the Walmart brand?
Great value.
2% milk.
A gallon,
a full gallon.
Let me see. What's
your estimate?
I believe now a gallon. Golly, I think it's $2.97.
Yeah, that sounds about right in that world.
Do you go higher or lower?
I'm going to go a little higher than $2.97, but not my match.
$2.76. So Adam has won both so far. Yeah, he's two up.
$2.76. I knew it was close.
All right, Adam, you go first this time.
Okay.
These are brown cage-free eggs at one dozen. Okay. The brand is Market Side.
Okay.
They're farm fresh, organic, brown, cage-free eggs.
So these chickens lived a good life.
Oh, yeah, man. They had dreams.
Yeah.
They had dreams before they were taken out.
I believe this is going to be $4 and I think it's 96 cents.
Higher or lower?
Over, higher.
$5.27, yeah. So.
I just missed it.
All right, Luke, you're up.
It was the other day.
You're up first on this one. This is a 3-pound package, 3 pounds. Of Purdue brand, harvest land free range, fresh boneless chicken breast tray. It's 3 pounds of chicken. So you have to think of how much is it per pound and then multiply by three.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
And I did not chat GPT this. I went to Walmart.com and looked at prices.
Yeah, I figure.
So we know where actually
I'm going to say. Yeah. I'm going to say $14.27.
Yeah, $14.27. Higher or lower?
It's higher. It's going to be closer to $21.
Ooh, $15.86.
Ah!
But you still got higher.
So I was doing $6.99 a pound. So
okay, all right. It's like $5.12 a pound when you buy the much. Okay. All right. Now we're into some toys. And whose turn is it to go first, Luke?
Sure.
It's a remote control car. It's got a 60-minute battery. It's a monster truck. It's a 1-to-16 ratio RC car remote control. Lights and spray function, all-terrain, off-road, RC, monster vehicle truck for kids.
As seen on the Disney Channel.
Sure. What's your guess?
I mean, I don't know. I don't have kids.
It's on sale right now.
It's on sale.
It helps, but
we're going to say $45.99.
Okay, Adam, higher or lower?
Say it one more time.
It's a 1-to-16 ratio RC car. It's a monster truck for kids. All-terrain, off-road.
So it's like the one the kid gets in and drives?
No, it's 1-to-16. It's like this big.
All right.
I may have gone too small then.
Yeah, I'm gonna go lower and say it's like $39.96.
Yeah,
like
$27.99. Adam wins that one.
Okay.
All right. What do we want? One more. We'll do this 1,500-pound capacity rectangle trampoline outdoor for gymnastics. All right. Adam, you go first. What is your guess on what?
$299.76. $299.76.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Higher.
Higher.
This is a fancier one, guys. This is $759.
Oh, wow.
That's a big. Oh, I didn't give you the dimensions. 9 by 15.
It doesn't
feet.
Matter. I've never bought a trampoline. Everybody okay. always gives trampolines away.
Yeah, that's right.
They buy one and then they're like, mm-hmm. we don't want this anymore. Do you want a trampoline?
That's right. Sasha wants to dig a hole in the yard and make the trampoline ground level.
Ground level, yeah.
And then jump in that way, which could be fun. So,
you sure where the shovel is?
Yeah. Hey, let's do one more for fun, Luke. I expect you to have these on in the office next week. Just kidding. Don't. The Ray-Bans Meta Skylar glasses with Meta AI audio, photo, video,
wow.
shiny black, polarized green lenses, regular fit.
$543.
I think.
Adam's the tech.
I think it's lower. And it's
see how close he can get. It is lower. Let's see how close he can get.
It's either going to be like in the $299 realm or the $399 realm. So it's one of those two.
$329.99. Okay. So you were close. Yeah.
Right in the middle.
All right, guys. This has been fun. that was just for kicks and giggles. But man, obey is better than sacrifice. Adam nailed it. Well, the Bible nailed it first. But
there we go.
you know, we love you. We like you. And if you missed out on Vision Night, yesterday or whenever you're listening, come the 21st. We can't wait to see you.
Cannot wait to see you.
Yep.